Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And I should warn you that a product of this week is this is going to be an interactive sermon, so feel warned ahead of time. All right, so last summer I had the opportunity to take my kids to the circus for the first time. Me and Kylie and Aiden and Maddie met up with my brother and my sister-in-law and their two little kids, and we went to the circus. It had been a long time since I had been to the circus, and I forgot how quick it runs. I think that they intentionally designed the circus to be for ADD kids because the acts are fast and constantly change and just keeps their attention going. And they were amazed by the animals and they were amazed by the acrobatics and all of the things that happened and the music and the lights and everything else. But I think I have to go back to some of the original aspects of the circus, at least to what I think to be original acts of the circus. And one of them that really is incredible to me is the high wire act. And it seems like every year they're learning more and more things and it's getting more and more dangerous and more incredible to see what they're able to do on these little tiny wires. To see now that they're not just two people high, but they're getting three people high and jumping onto bicycles and all of these things that they can do on this wire. And I'm probably partly impressed because the height of that would just scare the heck out of me that I could not move at all up there. But amazing to see of what an adrenaline rush it must be like to be up there. To do those things up so high and to be challenging themselves to do new things and greater feats in it. And I think in part that must have been what it was like to be Peter following Jesus through all of this. That high wire act of having that adrenaline rush and seeing what they were able to do, to be pushing miracle after miracle and seeing what was possible coming out of the heart and the hands of Jesus and to be right there in the thick of it, but doing it despite the danger it incurred. So here they are walking along that high wire. Here it is, Peter seeing all these things and doing all these things and being right there. But last week, we saw what happens when you lose your balance on that high wire. Because what happens when you lose your balance? You? I told you it'd be interactive, right? You fall down. And that's what happened to Peter last week. If you were here last week, we looked at what happened when Jesus was arrested, and by the light of the fire, Peter was asked if he was one of the ones with Jesus. Aren't you that Galilean? Aren't you one of them? And three times over, Jesus denied Peter. He slipped, he tripped, he lost his balance, and he fell. And you know that he did because in the last line of it, when the rooster crows, it says, Peter wept because he knew what he had just done. And I'm going to bridge last week and this week, and I'm going to ask you to think about what that moment's been in your life if you've had one of those. Maybe you've had a chance to stew on it this last week. Maybe you haven't. But think about that. Is there that time when your faith has been tested? That time when you were on that wire and needing to step, and maybe you didn't just step where you needed to be. Maybe you lost your balance. Maybe your faith faltered. Maybe you realized you weren't what you needed to be in that moment. And I'm going to give you a minute to sit and stew on that. What is a moment where you feel you slipped in your faith? All right, now one of those things that takes guts to be on the high wire. So here's where I challenge your guts. I challenge you to turn to somebody that's sitting next to you. You might have to shift in your seat a little bit. I know change is tough. It might take you changing where you are to get to somebody. But can you share with somebody sitting next to you what that moment was? Now we're going to really test guts. Is there anybody that would like to share aloud of a time when they slipped? I know I'll give an example that a few different people shared aloud. A time when a diagnosis happened, a stroke or an illness or a sudden loss, and that person found themselves blaming God and getting so angry that God would allow that to happen or to take that person. I needed to have grabbed a microphone. Betty shared when her 3-year-old son was burned and she lost him and got so angry at God that she wasn't willing to go in church, but she would go Saturdays with her father that would mow the grass at the church. And she sat on her knees on Saturday praying and asked, was it the pastor? Asked the pastor if it mattered if she was outside praying on Sunday or outside praying on Saturday or inside praying on Sunday. He asked her. And when he asked her that question, she made it to church the next day. Thank you, Betty, for sharing. Those times do come, though. I don't know if you've had those moments where God has appeared in front of you in human form, asking for help, and your heart, instead of loving that person as Christ would, judges that person or denies that person and walks away, and eventually you realized, I wasn't who God wanted me to be in that moment. I know I've had several of those slippings. Mary says, not like Peter, but like Martha, and just being too busy for her faith and not taking the time that she knows she's supposed to. Yes, thank you. We all have those slippings. But there's one thing I know. When I watch that high wire act, what happens when they fall? There's a net below them, right? And I love the beauty of it. And most often it's not necessarily when they fall, but when they're done and ready to get off the wire. But either of which, they go down, and so often they land on their back and they bounce, and where do they land but on their feet? And I see that net as so symbolic of Jesus' grace. That we think in those moments when we slip, we think when we have those Peter or even those Martha moments, we think we're going to slip and maybe that's just it. We think maybe we can never darken the doors of the church again. We think that maybe God can't ever let us back in, but there as we go free falling in our humanity, there's Jesus like this moment with that net, that he catches us and he pushes us back up. Because isn't that exactly what's happening in this story? Peter's denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but thrice has denied his Savior. Thrice has failed to be of faith and trust in Jesus. He sees him killed. He sees him buried. He finds that empty tomb. And they're left without Jesus. And what do? That moment when everything is failing and in a tailspin, you run to your comfort spot. And for these disciples, that comfort is on the lake in their boat. So here they are fishing, not knowing what to do. And here they have, much like a story we read not too many weeks ago, they're dropping their nets, they're casting their nets, they're dragging them and doing everything they can, but they're coming up empty all night long. So here once again, Jesus, like in the very beginning, appears on the lake shore and tells them, cast them one more time. So here they go. Repeating the story, put down their nets and the biggest haul they've ever had. They drag it into the shore, and there Jesus has a fire burning and breakfast ready. He roasts up some of those fish, and he eats once again with his disciples. The place they had been left at the Last Supper is now bookended by breakfast on the beach. Reunited with his disciples to show them he has gone nowhere, that he has overpowered even death. Well, after they eat, he pulls Peter to the side. Peter who must face him once again. Peter who saw the look in Jesus' eyes after denying him over and over. And here Jesus sits with him and asks him the simple question, do you love me? You who denied me, you who said you didn't know me, do you love me? And Peter answers that he does. But Jesus asks him again and asks him a third time and frustrates Peter, but it reminds me that game that kids play. When you say something at the same time, and what does one person fight to be first to say? But jinx. There's a few of you that knew it. And what happens when you say jinx, but the one that was slower to it, their tongue gets tied and they can't speak until their friend says their name three times over. And I don't know what your friends were like, but my friends were not very grace-filled in this game. They would tease you and prolong it and say everything but your name. Maybe get it out twice, but then say almost your name and almost your name and just leave you there in agony. The pain of not being able to speak, and for some of us that just don't stop talking, that's just the ultimate torture. But that third time that name is said, that tongue is freed and you're back where you were. So here's Peter. Three times over, his name spoken. Three times over, getting the opportunity to affirm his love for Jesus. And three times over, Jesus tells him to take care of his sheep. He gives him a chance to be redeemed. He gives him a chance to be caught by the net of Jesus' grace and restored to his feet in Jesus' love. And one thing I've seen of those trampoline people, trapeze people, when they fall, they bounce, and they go right back up to get back to work. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, get back on your feet and get back to work. It's not about what you did yesterday. It's not about what you did in that time of crisis, but it's about what I need you to be doing. And Peter at that moment needed to examine what was on the inside. Makes me think of my Kylie. She's not here right now because she's got cheer practice. Boo for cheer practice on Sunday morning, but at least it's only 3 days. But my Kylie, I've told you that she's a cheerleader, and I don't know if I've told you, but she's a flyer. This is what we call them. She's the one that they lift up in the air. Well, she's working with a brand new team, and she's got a new set of girls under her. Now realize, I am putting the life and safety of my 8-year-old and three other, like, 8, 9, and 10-year-old girls. Well, it's extremely frustrating as a parent to see them struggle, because when they struggle, what's happening? But my precious little girl is being dropped. And I have times where I see my precious little girl get frustrated. But the thing I've figured out in this partial year of learning about the life of a cheer mom is that it takes my daughter being willing to trust that team under her and trust her ability, that when she gets dropped, she has to put her life back in their hands so they can lift her up and try to be successful. She's been working on developing that trust. She's been working on trusting that they're not going to let her get hurt and that they're going to learn from their mistakes and get stronger each day. And she has to learn to trust in her abilities to be strong and keep her balance. And that's where Peter's at right here. Jesus is putting him back on his feet, and now he's saying, trust me. At that moment by the fire, you trusted in yourself and you failed, but now trust me to help you do the work I need you to do, because you're the one I call to do it. He has restored, redeemed, and forgiven Peter in this moment. just like he wants to do with each one of us. So now I ask you to think for just a moment. If there's a time when Jesus has overwhelmed you with his love and grace, maybe it's a moment after you've fallen when he's redeemed you. Maybe it's a time you felt that you weren't worthy, yet he loved you. Or maybe there's just a time when his Spirit overwhelmed you with his presence. Take a moment and think of when that was. Now find that friend you made earlier and take a minute and share your story of redemption and love. Now I ask if there's anybody that would like to share with all their story of love or redemption. Amen. The day when his father walked out the hospital doors after being sick for a very long time. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Rella shared that she feared that when she lost her vision that she would lose her voice, but God continues to be faithful in giving her a strong voice in mission to the church around the world, and has been so good and faithful to continue to be with her. And amazing things if you were at United Methodist Women to hear about what she's doing in the mission in the Philippines and with the work that she's doing. So praise the Lord. Amen. Well, God is good. God is good all the time, and God desires to continually catch us in his love. And so I pray for this morning that as you go from this place, if you feel yourself on that high wire, if you feel like you are having to take all your strength to stay in balance, or if you feel like you are in a stage of your life where you're slipping and falling, I pray that you will turn to Jesus to catch you and to put you on your feet, and that you will have the courage, the faith, and the trust in him to climb back up on that wire, to be his presence and his love in this world, because you never know when the strength that he gives you in restoring your faith may be the source of a new faith or a restored faith in someone right around you. My friends, I pray for each one of you that you can be in Christ's love and in his redemption. Amen.